Welcome to each of you, in fact. We are in the 55th chapter of the wonderful book of Isaiah. If you're following along with us online, we welcome you to our study. Encourage everyone plugged into the study tonight, have your Bible open to the text. That will be the critical first step to take in making sure that this study is as profitable as it can be. Hopefully you've had the chance to read through and pour over the wording and throw yourself into a study of this. I kind of feel a little bit like, I have similar feelings to what Phil expressed in our last class. Sometimes it's just all a blur. About just like, you have so many thoughts that you want to chase down, and some of them kind of become rabbit trails. So I hope I can make sense of my manifold stack of notes here, and maybe we can talk about two or three things that will be a blessing to us tonight. So let's have a prayer, and very fitting way to begin, as always, ask for God's blessings, and then we'll get into it. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for this day and the opportunities that it brings for service to you. We are thankful for the breath of life, for the relationships you grant to us. We are so grateful most of all to be your children through Christ. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for your justice and for all that you are. We praise you and we thank you. We ask your blessings on our class now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as we look at, and this has been emphasized before, in fact, Sunday, there is a flow that runs through these chapters, 52 in particular, 53, 54, 55. Do you see the plan of salvation? Do you see the book of Acts essentially unfolding in these chapters? In 52 and 53, what do we have regarding the plan of salvation? Okay, we have the servant on earth. We have the sacrifice that makes salvation possible, that enables a plan to exist at all. 54, what do we have? This was Sunday. So restoration is possible. I think the language was used on Sunday, then, I'm sorry, in 53, restoration is possible. 54, what about that salvation, that restoration? It is what? Fill in that blank. And Phil's not allowed to answer because I'm testing your knowledge of the brief outline he shot our way. That there's a spread, right? There's an enlargement of the kingdom tent, if you will. And that is cause for what? Great what? Celebration. So the restoration is celebrated. Well, in 55, we have the great invitation. It harkens to the book of Acts. Sunday in the sermon, we looked at Acts chapter 8. You don't have to go back there, but remember the eunuch, the Ethiopian official, asked Philip a question. He says, "Tell me, of whom does the prophet write this or speak this? Of himself or of someone else?" And then what does the very next verse say that Philip did? I'll give you a start. Beginning with... Okay, beginning with this scripture, in other words, Isaiah 53 was what he was reading. Or that's the portion quoted. I suspect he was reading this entire section. When you study 56, I think you'll appreciate why I say that. But I think there's reason to think that Philip took him from 53 and went through 54, and certainly the eunuch had his own celebrating that took place in Acts 8. I think in 55, the great invitation was extended to him. And Philip explained what that looked like. And so when they came to water, He accepted the invitation. See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Of course, only unbelief would hinder him. And so then 56, I think you're gonna see Acts chapter 8 as you look at Isaiah 56. So I don't want to spoil the fun of reading through that. If you've already read through it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But this is the great salvation of God through the servant being announced. We do have some slides at some point, hopefully during our class. We had a laptop die back there a while back, and so they're trying to integrate some new equipment. And anyway, we're going to let them do what they do. Wow. As if on cue. We're talking about the great invitation tonight. And I see this text kind of breaking down into two parts. But before we get to that and to some points of application, chapter 55 I find to be a very quotable portion of Isaiah. What are some of the well-known lines from 55 that you were well familiar with before coming to class tonight? What were some of the lines from this chapter that you were well acquainted with? Okay, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Not the only place in Scripture this sentiment is stated. Where else is this very sentiment repeated? Okay, John 4 with a Samaritan woman. Where else? Come to the waters and drink. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost or without price. Does that sound like any other verse in your Bible? Very last chapter of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, I think about verse 17. But lots of different places, right? You could throw in Matthew 11, come. I mean, the general invitation to come. Matthew 11 is one of the great invitations. Jesus himself spoke those words, come all who are weary and heavy laden. And what does Jesus promise? I will give you rest. It's the great need. It's the great need of our age. True spiritual rest in this chapter expressed as true spiritual sustenance. But it's what our souls deeply need that the world cannot provide, that Jesus only can provide. Okay? So, come drink, come to the waters. Barb, did you have your hand up, sister? Verse 8 is very quotable. For my thoughts, studying for this class wasn't the first time you'd ever read this, right? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And then verse 9 is typically coupled with that. In a reading, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Can we take the principles identified in that verse and apply them broadly? In other words, for instance, God's ways are higher than our ways. Could we broadly cite a number of applications of that principle? That would be true regardless of what passage it was included in contextually. Sure, God's ways are higher than our ways in every conceivable way, right? It's so enjoyable though to see contextually why that is said. And we'll hopefully dig into that in just a moment. There was a reason in Isaiah 55 why God said that. And so we're never going to ignore the context about that. The primary reason why the statement is made in the first place is made with regard to one particular characteristic of God, one particular way of thinking of God, one particular set of ways, if you will, associated with God. And it is very, very encouraging and I think energizing to see this verse in context. But Barb's right, very quotable verse. You no doubt, I suspect many here are well familiar with that text. Any other verses in Isaiah 55 that you are quoted in the New Testament or that you had read were well familiar with before? Maybe you were just already familiar with the whole chapter.
The end that talks about his word and
Yeah, I always remember where Mark's rendering is at, Mark 13:31, I think. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So there, in both passages, there is expressed an enduring quality that God's word has. And then I think some other things are stated about God's word here, about its purpose, God's purpose for it being accomplished. But that's part and parcel with its enduring quality, right? It's not like it's sent out and fizzles out and has no lasting, no staying power. So good. Had you heard 10 and 11 before? I know I've used it in sermons before here, at least one or two. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring